Well, welcome to the physics seminar series continuing. Today's speaker, in some ways, is our own because I always wanted to have a particle physicist in our group, and we were able to hire a lecturer for supplementing us, and so maybe someday soon we'll have Dr. Al-Abbad as just not only a lecturer, but maybe one of the faculty. But for now, he's going to present some work, which I list him as Oklahoma State University because the work was done at Oklahoma State University, so it wasn't fair for Wichita State to take credit for it, even though we just recently hired him. But he is now one of our own, and he's going to give a summary of the Higgs boson mass and gauge-mediated symmetry breaking, which is a paper he developed with Professor Badu in Oklahoma.
Thank you. Thank you for giving me this opportunity to give a talk. As you mentioned, this work is done in collaboration with my advisor, Dr. Babu. This is the outline of my talk. In the first part of my talk, I will give a brief review of standard model. Then I will discuss Higgs mechanism. This mechanism is needed to give masses to the fermion and some force carrier bosons. Then I will discuss flavor structure of standard model. What I mean by that is basically describing the fermion masses and mixing. Then I will mention the shortcomings of standard model. And one of the main shortcomings of the standard model is the hierarchy problem. I will discuss this, and this is going to be motivation for supersymmetry. Then I will discuss interesting features of MSSM. MSSM is a minimal extension to the minimal extension of standard model of the supersymmetry to the standard model. It's called minimal supersymmetric standard model. Then I will discuss some supersymmetric breaking scenarios, and I will mention shortcomings of MSSM, and finally I will discuss briefly ground unification theory. My second part of my talk is I will discuss Higgs mass limit in MSSM. Then I will show some graph for updated experimental results on the Higgs mass. After that, I will discuss what is gauge mediation supersymmetry breaking and how it is related to the Higgs mass. Then I will set up my objectives. This is my project, basically. I will discuss how the Higgs mass can be raised in gauge mediation supersymmetry breaking with messenger matter mixing. And here I will discuss one example of 10-10 bar model, where the messenger field belongs to 10-10 bar representation of SU5. SU5 is a good symmetry. I will show here, I introduce new coupling to the gauge mediation supersymmetry breaking. And this new coupling can be obtained by assuming flavor symmetry. It's called U1 flavor symmetry, and by employing the Frege-Nelson mechanism. And I will discuss this briefly and see that even after introducing this coupling, still I get the flavor violation processes is sufficiently suppressed in agreement with the experiment. Finally, I will conclude. Okay, standard models. You know, we have four fundamental interactions. Electromagnetic interaction, which is mediated by photons. Weak interaction, which is mediated by W bosons and Z bosons. Strong interactions, mediated by gluons. And finally, which is the weakest interactions, gravitational interaction, which is mediated by gravitinos. Now, Glashow, Weinberg, and Salam succeed to unify the first two interactions in one model. It's called Glashow-Weinberg-Salam model, and this model is based on gauge symmetry as U2 left cross U1. And the strong interaction can be described by theories called quantum chromodynamic theory, And this theory is based on SU3's gauge symmetry. Now, the standard model simply combining these three together, and the gauge symmetry of a standard model is simply the multiplication of these three gauge group. Okay? And this each gauge group is associated with gauge coupling, like strong coupling, and the weak coupling, and hypercharged coupling. Now, the point is, under this gauge symmetry, the gluons and photons should be massless. However, experimentally, we found that W and Z boson are really heavy. So, and we cannot add their mass, the invariant mass term, under this gauge symmetry for them. Therefore, we need to adopt some mechanism to break this symmetry and break it spontaneously by employing this mechanism, which is called Higgs mechanism. Okay, I'm gonna talk about it soon. Now, this is the particle contents of the standard model and how they transform under the gauge symmetry. Here I have the Ward doublet, okay, which is transformed as doublet under SU2 left. And I have here quark singlet, right-handed quark singlet. Similarly, I have leptons, okay, and left-handed doublets. And I have only one lepton singlet. And this is the new boson is introduced to the standard model in order to give masses to fermions and some force carrier bosons. Now, as you can see from this table, one can ask why we have two right-handed singlet, while in the leptonic sector we have only one singlet. So people somehow say, okay, we might have a right-handed neutrino here. So since this right-handed neutrino is missing in standard model, the neutrino is massless in the standard model. I'm gonna a little bit expand here, expand discussion about that later on. Now, as a consequence of electroweak symmetry breaking, the electroweak symmetry gonna be broken to the effective electromagnetic interaction. Okay. Now, here, these four, actually, this is four bosons. You have three here, triplet and one, B and W. And the gluons here is related to the strong interaction, and we have eight gluons, which transform as octet under SU3. Now, this is four bosons. When you break this symmetry, the neutral part of W and the neutral part of B bosons will be mixed to form a photon which is remain massless. However, the other gauge bosons will gain mass of around 100 GeV. And this is found experimentally. And this considered as one of the successes of standard model. The only missing link in the standard model is one of the important things is that missing link is the Higgs particle. Finding the Higgs particle might lead us to a new physics beyond the standard model. Now, in order to get masses for the left-handed quark and right-handed, left-handed fermions or right-handed fermions, or to give mass for fermions, we need to write this Yukawa coupling. I just want to point out we cannot write mass term for the fermions, because as you can see from previous slide, the left-handed fermions, including the quark and lepton, transform differently from the right-handed fermion. Okay, so we need to write this Yukawa coupling in order to give masses for the quark and leptons. This is a down quark singlet. This is a quark doublet. And this is the Higgs. Now, as you can see, this is called Yukawa coupling, and it is 3x3 matrix. So actually, here we introduce many free parameters in standard model is around 19 free parameters. And what the data tell us that there is kind of hierarchical structure for fermion mass. For example, you can see that the top mass has around 175 GeV, while the char mass is around 1.2 GeV. And like happy quark mass is almost massless, okay? So the hierarchical structure of the fermion is not explained by standard model, okay? Also, there is kind of quark mixing angles and also neutrino mixing angles here, which is not easy to explain by standard model. And we have also hierarchical structure in the quark mixing angle, as you can see. And if you compare the quark mixing angle with the neutrino mixing angle, you can see the quark mixing angle is pretty small. So if you talk about grand unification theory, where in grand unification theory you unify the quarks and leptons in one gut multiplet. So how can we accommodate the large neutrino mixing angle with the small quark mixing angle in unification framework? Actually, this can be done by employing some kind of structure. It's called doubly psi structure. And I have two papers about that, which have been recently published. Also, you can explain this hierarchical structure in fermion mass mixing by employing Fourier-Nielsen mechanism. And I will discuss this later on. In this slide, I will explain what we mean by Higgs mechanism and briefly. Now, if we write the invariant Higgs potential, okay, this is invariant under the standard model gauge group. Okay. Now, this potential has this graph. As you can see, you can have infinite minima here around this. And choosing one of the minima as a vacuum expectation value or as a physical vacuum break that this case. This is what we call spontaneous symmetry breaking. Okay. Here we can calculate the Higgs mass in the standard model, where lambda here is the quartet coupling. Okay. And this coupling, the maximum value can be obtained by requiring the perturbativity condition on the quark coupling. If you use the maximum value of lambda here, you can get that the upper bound on the Higgs mass in the standard model, which is going to be around 1 TeV. Okay. Well, here I need to mention the shortcomings of the standard model. First, as I mentioned in the first slide, does not contain gravity. This is one of the shortcomings. Also does not explain neutrino masses because we don't have right-handed neutrino in the standard model, okay? So what people do in this case, they add right-handed neutrino by hand to the standard model and they employ a scissor mechanism to generate really tiny masses for neutrino because neutrino data shows neutrino has mass. It's not massless. So we need to find a way to understand this. Also, in the standard model, if you run these the three gauge couplings, okay, with the energy scale, you can see these three gauge couplings come close to each other, but they don't meet. They form this kind of triangle. Okay, so this is one of the shortcomings of the standard model. Okay. Another main problem of the standard model is the gauge hierarchy problem. Again, I explain after this slide. This problem, the Higgs mass receives huge quantum corrections. Okay. Now, since the Higgs mass couples with the fermions, okay, there is one loop quantum correction to the Higgs mass. If we calculate this one loop quantum correction to the Higgs mass, where inside the loop here is fermion simply, we can get this relation. So we can see that the Higgs mass is quadratically divergent, where lambda here is called a cutoff scale. What we mean by cutoff scan is the web is the when the standard model start to cease to be valid symmetric. Above this cutoff scan, standard model will not be valid as a symmetry. Below that, gonna be a good symmetry describing the nature. So if we assume that this cutoff scan go all the way to the Black scan, okay, we can see how big the correction can be obtained to the Higgs mass. It's around 30 order of magnitude, okay, which is really big, huge correction. Now, this motivates people to work in supersymmetry. This is one of the motivations. In order to solve this problem, so we assume new kind of symmetry, we call it supersymmetry. So what is supersymmetry? So supersymmetry actually is a symmetry between fermions and bosons. And there is kind of transformation operator that transform boson to the fermion and vice versa. Okay? Now when we talk about supersymmetry, we talk about we extend our space-time to new superspace where we introduce two Grassmann parameter here, or numbers, where alpha runs from 1 to 4. Also, when we talk about supersymmetry, we need to extend our field to something called superfield. I don't want to go through details here, but I just want to mention that the superfield contains scalar, fermion, and auxiliary fields. Okay? So, in this case, each fermion in the standard model has supersymmetric particle. Okay. And also now, the Lagrangian in this case is going to be obtained from the superpotential. Okay, the supersymmetry. Now, the minimal supersymmetric extension to the standard model is minimal supersymmetric standard model. This is the minimal version of supersymmetry. Now here, as I said before, quarks has a super partner, it's called scalar quarks. Okay. And since supersymmetry commute with the gauge symmetry, fermion and scalar fermion should transform similarly under the gauge symmetry. Okay. And you know the scalar now is like boson, has spin zero, and the quark has spin half. Also, there is a partner for the force carrier. Gluons has a gluinos, W bosons has winos, and B bosons has bino. Now, why we introduce supersymmetry? The first thing, supersymmetry solves the instability in the Higgs mass. So, remember, this is the standard model contribution, which is varies as quadratically the division for the cutoff. Now, since in the supersymmetry we introduce new particles, scalar particles, these particles can go inside the loop. Okay? So if we do this one loop corrections to the Higgs mass, it turns out to get this expression with a positive sign. Here we have negative sign. Now, as you can see, what supersymmetry do is makes this relation hold or satisfy this Yukawa coupling. If this Yukawa coupling equals this Yukawa coupling, if you add two contributions, the quadratic divergence will cancel nicely. Okay? And this is going to be true also in the higher order loop corrections. Now, another interesting feature of supersymmetry, the three gauge coupling will meet nicely at some gut scale, okay? At some energy scale, this energy scale we call it gut scale, time unification scale. So this means that above this gut scale we have a higher symmetrical theory. It's called ground unification theory. And this ground unification theory has one simple gauge group which is associated with one unified gauge coupling. Also, the supersymmetry has a dark matter candidate. In this case, the lightest supersymmetric particle is going to be a good candidate for dark matter. also provides a natural mechanism for ellipto-weak symmetry breaking. I just want to mention that. Another interesting feature of MSSM, the upper bound for the lightest Higgs mass is going to be around 130 GeV. And this is very good because MSSM can be tested. Okay. Now, the question that arises, can SUSY be an exact symmetry? Since, obviously, the answer is no, because experimentally we only find fermions, we don't find scalar fermions with equal mass. Supersymmetry requires that the mass of the fermion should be equal to the mass of the boson. Okay? And this can be seen from this relation. So, where p square here is the simply the four momentum operators, when you apply this four momentum operator on this boson state, the eigenvalue is going to be the mass of this boson state. Now, in order to get this boson, you can apply the supersymmetry transformation on a fermion. And since the supersymmetric transformation is commuting with the four momentum operator, so you can flip this, and you can here you get the mass of the fermion, right? P squared acting in the fermion state will give you mass of the fermion. Now this is only true if the mass of the fermion equals mass of the boson. But as I said, this is experimentally excluded. So SUSY must be broken symmetry. So in order to break this supersymmetry, again you need to assume a spontaneous symmetry breaking by giving a VIV, a non-zero VIV value. And this can be done actually two ways, either by giving a non-zero VIV for the auxiliary field, F or theta. Now we need actually to break supersymmetry, but at the same time, we need to maintain this nice relation between the dimensionless couplings, right? This needed to maintain the nice quadratic cancellation of for the Higgs mass, right? So what people do actually is adding besides the invariant Lagrangian, SUSY invariant Lagrangian, they add a new Lagrangian which is break supersymmetry. It's called soft terms. Now how these soft terms looks like? We have like scalar mass terms, okay? This is like for scalar fields. And also we have trilinear scalar interactions. Here we have three scalars multiplied together, and this is what we call A is a trilinear scalar interactions, Eugenio mass terms, and bilinear terms. So we can write now the soft terms for MSSM. As you can see here, we have Bino mass term, Guino and Cluino. This is the third line shows the trilinear scalar interactions, AU, AE, and AE. And this is the scalar mass terms for quark doublet, lepton doublet, and etc. Well, as you can see, these mass terms actually is a 3x3 matrix. Okay? So, since we introduce new particles, we introduce a new free parameter. So we make the problem worse. So now, we have many new free parameters in MSSM. This is one of the shortcomings of MSSM. It's around 105 free parameters. 100. Well, but supersymmetry is still nice, right? Let's try to fix this later on. Now, also another problem of MSSM, it contains new sources of level correlation. And I will give you one example of the leptonic level correlation when the mu goes to E gamma, when mu decay to E gamma. This is highly suppressed experimentally. And the upper bound, the branching ratio of this upper bound is around 10 to the power minus 11. Okay? Now, as you can see, if we have scalar leptons, these scalar leptons can go through this loop. Okay? So we'll add a new contribution. Okay? Now, if we add a new contribution, it might exceed this upper bound, right? So we need to solve this problem. In order to solve this problem, one of the solutions is to assume that the slipton masses are degenerate. So if the slipton masses are degenerate, there is no mixing between, for example, first generation of lepton and second generation, okay? This is only true when you work in the mass, fermion mass identity state. This example applies for also the quark, okay? Now, how to get the slipton mass are degenerate? This can be done by adopting gate mediation supersymmetry. Okay? That's why in this model we adopt gate mediation supersymmetry. Also, the origin of soft cracking terms, I don't mention what is the origin of soft cracking terms in the previous slides. This is still unknown. So, but actually there are two main scenarios. It's called gate mediation supersymmetry breaking and gravity mediation supersymmetry breaking. So I will discuss this later on. Now we come to Drum unification theory. Well, there is a general idea in the high energy physics community that the more symmetrical theory is, the more is, this theory is elegant and beautiful. Okay? So, in Drum unification theory, we need one symmetric group with one gauge coupling, which is more symmetrical than the standard model gauge group. You know, the standard model gauge group is like a multiplication of three symmetric groups. Now, that symmetry start valid above the Gauss scale. Okay? Below that, we have the effective MSSM theory. Okay? Now, in the Gauss, fermions are grouped in larger representation. We're going to call it Gauss multiplet. Since it's these fermions grouped in larger representation, we're going to have fewer free parameters when we write down the Yukawa coupling. Okay? Now, the simplest Drum unification gauge group is SU5, because it has rank 4. The standard metal gauge group has rank 4 also. So, in this case, the 15 left handed fermions, okay, can be embedded into two large irreducible representations of SU5. Here we have the fundamental SU5, and we have anti symmetric. Dimensional irreducible representation. You can write it down as a matrix here, or you can summarize it as shown this, where 5 contains the down sectors, okay? Alpha here is a color factor, like 1, 2, or 3, and lepton doublet. And 10 will contain quark doublet, quark singlet, and right handed slipton singlet, okay? So, Gauss symmetry apply is a symmetry inside each generation of fermions, right? So, therefore, it predicts kind of fermion mass relations. For example, in SU5, we have this equality relation for the three generation. You can see the down, since, as you can see from here, the down quark and the lepton is embedded in the same multiple, right? So, the mass of the down quark will be, for three generations, will be equal to the mass of three leptons, okay? Another possibility is the SO10-GOD model. And actually, SO10-GOD model is really interesting. Why? Because here you can embed standard model fermions, all the standard model fermions, plus the right-handed neutrino, in one irreducible representation. We call it 16-dimensional irreducible representation of SO10. Okay? And you know, here we don't have to add the right hand neutrino by hand. It's already included in this group. Okay? So we can generate a neutrino mass in this kind of gap model. Okay, this is our second part of my talk. I will discuss the Higgs mass in bound in MSSM. Actually, I use this expression. This is up to two loop corrections to the Higgs mass. The important parameters here is MS. Is MS is simply the average mass of the two stops masses. We have right-handed and left-handed stop mass, right? So we take the average. This is this expression is approximately valid. It's good to use it, you know. But the real calculation is really tedious, okay, for the Higgs mass. Now, in this graph, I show how the Higgs mass changing with this parameter MS for different value of tangent beta. Okay, what is tangent beta? Is actually V up over V down. It's a vacuum expectation value of H up divided by vacuum expectation value of H down. And I forget to mention that in MSSM we have two Higgs tangent. One give masses to the up quark sector, and one give masses to the down quark sector. So after higher than tangent beta equals 15, the divergence becomes mild. Okay. Now the point here I would like to emphasize the maximum mixing condition when the trilinear coupling, H-op, this is the trilinear coupling that mixes the left-handed stops to the right-handed stop, divided by this MS should be equal to square root of 6. This is what we call the maximum mixing condition. This leads to the Higgs mass of around 125 Jeff. Okay? Well, let's look at the experimental results of the Higgs mass. Here I brought several graphs from, this is a recent one, from the Civatron. As you can see here, we have this solid line, which is the observed one. Now, if the observed line above this horizontal line, below the horizontal line, this region will be excluded, okay? So, there are many experiments done on that to find out what is the allowed region for the Higgs mass, okay? So, as you can see, this excluded by Atlas and CMS. So, in summary, the allowed region, if you combine all the results, okay, of experiment, the Higgs mass can be located between 115 and 127 GeV. Also, can be so heavy, above 600 GeV. Okay? What is interesting, actually, is that recent experimental report about the Higgs mass, they found out that there is excessive events for the Higgs mass around 125, and this is done by ATLAS and CMS. Okay. Also, like this graph, like a few years ago, and Dr. Hogler told me about it. In this graph, you can see the preferred region is for the Higgs mass to be between 115 and 127. And this is done by Celia. So in summary, the preferred region of the Higgs mass will be around 115 to 127 GeV. This is what the experiment tells us. And also, the recent reported result for the Higgs mass suggests that if the Higgs mass exists, it should be around 125 GeV. Okay. Here now I need to discuss how the Higgs mass is related in gain mediation supersymmetric breaking. Now, let me just discuss or review what is gain mediation supersymmetric breaking. First of all, I would like to mention that supersymmetric breaking cannot be broken at renormalizable 3 level, okay? Because it leads to an unacceptable spectrum. So supersymmetry should be broken somehow in the hidden sector, okay? And the supersymmetry breaking can be transmitted to the visible sector through some messenger fields. So when we talk about gate mediation supersymmetry, this messenger, we call this messenger as a in this case will be half gauge interaction, or messenger field, we call it messenger field. In case of the gravity, the messenger field will be gravitons, okay? Now, in gate mediation supersymmetry breaking, we need to introduce messenger field, okay? And they're gonna be heavy, and they're gonna be integrated out at high scale. And this messenger field coupled to the Suzy breaking in the hidden sector. Then this supersymmetry breaking is going to be transmitted to the MSSM visible sector, not directly, indirectly, through the loops. I'm going to show you this. In order to give mass for this messenger field, you need also to use a gauge singlet. Okay? Now this gauge singlet, you give this gauge singlet a fib. The scalar partner of this super field will give mass to the messenger field, and the auxiliary field, when you give F to the auxiliary field of this singlet, you will break supersymmetry. Okay, and this happens in the hidden sector, and we don't know how it happens. Actually, there are different dynamic to do that. Now. Now the Gugino masses, this case will be generated at one loop order, where inside the loop we have messenger scalar and messenger fermions. After you do this loop calculation, you will get this is the Gugino mass. It's proportional with some factor. This is called effective Suzy breaking parameter, and equals to the width of the auxiliary field, okay, divided by the messenger mass, and the scalar mass is generated at two loop order, okay? As you can see here. Regarding the driving, the soft end gonna be zero at the messenger scale, okay? Now, what is the interesting feature for the gate mediation supersymmetry breaking? Since, as you can see, all the soft mass terms can be found only by specifying what is big lambda, right? So it contains only five parameters. Remember, one of the shortcomings of MSSM, it has many parameters, around 105 parameters. Now reduced to five parameters only, okay? So gate mediation supersymmetry is highly predictive, okay? And the flavor violation processes are naturally suppressed, and the reason is that the quadratic soft terms here for three generation can gonna be degenerate. So all the fermions with the same gauge quantum numbers will get the same mass. So the masses of three, like up, charm, and top. The scalar partner of this quark will have the same mass based on this relation. So, in this case, flavor violation processes are naturally suppressed. Also, if the messenger field belongs to complete gap multiplet, like 5-5 bar or 10-10 bar, we still preserve the gauge coupling unification. Here I show three graphs. First for MSSM only without any messenger field. The second one when the messenger field belongs to 5-5 bar, and the third one when the messenger field belongs to 10-10 bar. Now the point is, which is I would like to emphasize, is it possible to get this maximal condition in the ordinary gauge mediation supersymmetry breaking? The answer is no, because as I mentioned before, the triangular coupling is zero. Okay, so in this case, the lightest Higgs mass in the ordinary gauge mediation supersymmetry will be light. Okay, We cannot raise it up to 125. In order to do that, we need to introduce a new coupling. It's called messenger matter coupling or messenger matter mixing. And as I'm going to explain later on, we're going to see this only work if the messenger field belongs to tinted bar model. Okay? So my objectives here is engagement in supersymmetric breaking is to raise the lattice mass to about 125 J. And I need to do that such that the supersymmetric particle should be around sub TeV. So I don't want it to be beyond the reach of LHC, so my model can be tested. Also, I need these two objectives to be consistent with the flavor violation process are suppressed in agreement with the experiment. You know, because when you introduce new coupling, actually you reintroduce flavor, Suzy flavor problem. Okay, so I will show that this is still okay. Also, the gravitino has a cosmological preferred sub-KeV mass, and this requires that the messenger scale be to be around 10 to the power 8 or below, 10 to the power 8 GeV and below. So I got these two constraints in my model. Okay. Now, here I will discuss the gate mediation, supersymmetric breaking, plus adding to that messenger matter mixing. Now, I will discuss her tinted bar model, where the messenger field here belongs to 10 plus 10 bar dimensional representation of SU5. Okay? So here I embed my model in SU5 gap model. Okay? Now, just remind you how 10 contains, as I said, quark doublet, but this is messenger field now. Quark singlet, messenger field. It's transformed like regular quark and lepton singlet. Now, I can write this invariant term under SU5 gauge symmetry, and this term is only this coupling is only invariant at the gut scale. Right? Now, I need to run this down to the messenger scale. So, I have here one unified coupling. When I run it down to the messenger scale, it will be split into two exotic power couplings. Okay? I'm the prime TC and I'm the T prime. I call these exotic power coupling. Okay? Now, these two exotic power coupling actually generate masses for the quark sector, the scalar quark, soft quadratic mass. And also the good things, it gives you non-zero trilinear term. Okay? If you turn this exotic cloud coming to be zero, as you can see, this will be zero, and this will be zero, and this will be zero. And you go back to the ordinary gate mediation. Also, I investigate another model when the messenger field belongs to 551. Again, I follow the same steps, but now, as you can see, the trilinear coupling in the 5-5 model, bar model, it will be generated, but not enough as the 10-10 bar model. So here in 10-10 bar model, you can get, or you can obtain the maximal mixing condition so easy. Okay? Now, in this model, I have three free parameters. The unified gauge coupling, which is, as I showed here, is given at the gut scale. Sure, I need to run this unified coupling to the messenger scale. And I show this graph how it looks like. So, for example, if I start with 1.7, I will get two Yukawa couplings, which is around 0.2. Also, I have messenger scale, and I allow it to be taken these values between 10 to the power 6 to 10 to the power 12, and this is the effective Suzy breaking scale, which is between 200 TeV to 40. If you vary this and try to get the maximum value of MHEX, okay, you can see that when this exotic power coupling is zero, which is a cross one, to get me the direction of supersymmetric vacuum without messenger pattern mixing, I can get up to 117 J for the X mass, right? But also this corresponds to what? To very heavy stars, which is beyond LHC search, right? Which are around 30 eV. On the other hand, if I turn on this exotic Yukawa coupling, you have like 1.1, you can obtain up to 123, okay? And the stop mass in this case around 20 eV. So the model can be tested. Oh, by the way, I turn these numbers from the formula I showed you before previously. Okay? But also I did this calculation by using some suspect program. And this suspect program based on Fortran language. Okay? I found when you do the calculation exactly, you need to add 2 GeV to these values. Now here I show graphs, the Higgs mass versus the big lambda, okay? The green one, when you have only gauge mediation supersymmetry breaking without messenger metal mixing, I put here the amplified coupling zero, and the red one, when you have mixing, messenger metal mixing. As you can see, for low value of big lambda, the enhancement for the Higgs mass is around 10 GeV. For bigger one, is around 5. You know, a smaller value of big lambda means light supersymmetric part. Okay. Also, here this graph shows constraint on this unified exotic Yukawa coupling. You can see there is a cut here, and this is because the right-handed stop mass turned to negative when you run it from messenger scale to the low scale. A negative value is unphysical. So this puts some constraint. These three graphs for three different value of messenger scale. Okay. So for 10 to the power 8, it will be okay for any value. However, if you have heavy, larger mass messenger scale, you're gonna have this kind of cutoff. Well, in this table, I calculate numerically by giving this input parameter some values, okay? And I constrain myself, as I said, messenger scale below 10 to the power 8 J, okay? So I can get the preferred sub-key V for the gravitational mass. This is cosmology, by cosmology it's preferred value. Now, I just want to emphasize that the Higgs mass can be get up to 122. Where all supersymmetric particles below 1 GeV, okay, as you can see here. Okay, now I come to discuss this coupling. I don't introduce it just by without any reason. Okay, in order to introduce to find the reason why you introduce this coupling, I assume a flavor symmetry called U1 flavor symmetry. And then I adopt Frobenius-Newton mechanism. The good things about Frobenius-Newton mechanism, it provides an explanation for the hierarchy of fermion masses and mixing. What is Frobenius-Newton mechanism? Simply, you need the U1 flavor symmetry to be assumed. And you have a flavon, which is a singlet under gauge, standard model gauge group. Now, by giving, by breaking this U1 flavor symmetry by giving wave to this singlet, you can express the fermion masses and mixing in terms of this expansion parameter epsilon. Okay. Now here I assign the U1 charge for the MSSM field. This part is the MSSM field where the Higgs field reside in 5 up, 5 down. Okay. And also to the messenger field and messenger fields. Okay. Let's look at only at the superpotential for the MSSM, okay? And where here epsilon, as I said, is the this expression, and this will be less than 1, okay? As you can see, the Yukawa coupling is suppressed by this parameter, right? Now, if you can see this You can see this by writing down, by writing in terms of matrix. So the down quark mass matrix and a charged electron mass matrix is given by this. Well, here is a transpose of mass, electron mass matrix, or sorry, charged electron mass matrix. Now this, if you diagonalize this, you can find out for the up sector and down quark and charged electron, the hierarchical structure for fermion masses comes to be the hierarchical structure of fermions can be explained so easily in this case. Okay. Also, the good things also when you diagonalize these by using binary transformation, the neutrino mixing, you're gonna get larger neutrino mixing here, omega is the order one, which is agree with the neutrino mixing angles. Also, you will get small quark mixing angle, and also we call it CKM mixing angle, which agree with the quark mixing angles. Now, since we have messenger field, this is the additional couplings. We exactly produced these new couplings needed to raise the Higgs mass. Besides these two new couplings, P here can take 0, 1, and 2. Okay. Now, we're going to see later on when P equals 2, okay, the flavor violation will be sufficiently suppressed. So, I don't consider these two couplings in my mass quadratic in the Higgs mass calculation, because it does not affect on my calculation, because it's highly suppressed. So, in order to study flavor violation, okay, I define mass insertion parameters. So what is mass insertion parameter? Simply, the mass insertion parameter is the off-diagonal terms of this 3x3 matrix, or soft quadratic terms, okay, divided by the average mass of the diagonal value. Okay, this is the mass insertion parameter. Simple. Now, that M here, the red one, is generated by the XOTQ power cup. As I said previously, when you introduce messenger matter couplings, actually, you introduce a flavor violation problem again. So, but I want to show the flavor violation processes are in good agreement with experiment. So, this table shows the value of mass insertion parameter. You know, people done this, they found the experimental bounds of this mass insertion parameter. And this is that I consider the all flavor violation processes, leptonic sector and the quark sector. Okay? Now, this is for Tipton Barmodel and Physis 5-5 Barmodel. The only things which is really can be tested in the, by experiment, the mu to e gamma process, if p equals 2, it's going to be close to the experimental box. So this would, can be, if the experiment is going on, can be, the future be tested, this model can be tested. Also, the, for the KK bar mixing, it can be close to the experimental bar. Other flavor violation processes will be sufficiently suppressed. Okay? Okay. That's my conclusion. Well, standard model is not a complete theory. We have to go beyond the standard model. SUSY is, has several advantages. Okay, one of the main advantages is solving the hierarchy problem, obtaining the unification of Higgs couplings. But, however, it introduces many free parameters and also contains new sources of flavor violation processes. So we adopt cage mediation supersymmetric breaking scenario. Not only to reduce the free parameter from SSM, remember we reduce it from 1.5 to 5 parameters. Also, the SUSY problem, flavor problem, can be solved naturally. As we said, by introducing messenger matter couplings, the Higgs mass can be raised to 125 Jev, along with sub TeV mass of supersymmetric particle. And this, this kind of mixing make a gate mediation supersymmetric breaking model compatible with the recently reported hands on the Higgs mass, which is, as I said before, by Atlas they found the preferred value for the X-mass to be around 125 J. My results here are consistent with the gauge and the exotic power coupling being perturbative and unified that I got this scale. Also, the flavor changing neutral color processes are sufficiently suppressed in agreement with the experiment. Thank you.
That was exciting. There's time for questions and discussion, but can I take the first one? Can we go back to your slide that showed the prediction of the various masses of the... And then pass me your pointer.
This one.
So, if I understand this right...
You got it.
If I understand this right, you're talking that this... You could actually reach this one, right? 152 GeV for, and then of course this is the tau lepton, not the tau neutrino, right? Okay. Well, that makes it really hard because those are hard to distinguish. But so it's sounding like, other than Higgs, other than muon goes to E gamma, the next thing that one could search for is like an extension of, because this is possible when say aminos upgrade with a very large tail end catcher to actually reach that.
I don't know that, but that's good.
I mean, that's possible, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm asking you.
I don't really know.
You don't know? Okay.
I'm not good at that.
It's possible. It's not easy.
Yeah, I need to look at it. Yeah. But...
Because the neutrino program will run for at least 10 more years, maybe 15 at Fermilab. So
I found
things that could be extended onto Nova or Minos.
Yeah, I found actually a couple of paper. I forget this paper belonged to who, but as you said, they found a further point strain on the mu to e gamma.
Yes.
Yeah, it's not the one I give it the upper bound. It's more constrained than that. But I'm not sure.
Well, there has to be a cosmological constraint on mu to e gamma.
Maybe.
I mean, that one might, there has to be one of those.
Yeah, might be, yeah. So I need to look again at this.
Anyway, that one just was interesting that you could see the...
Thank you for pointing.
I mean, there might be some physics in that that could be approached. Yeah, it's at the virtual level, but it's still approachable, maybe.
Right.
Virtual level meaning the range should be at least non-negligible. Okay. Other questions, discussions, ideas? Tom?
All right, I missed a little of your introduction. Is the main thing you're pointing out some specific mechanisms for the supersymmetry breaking? Is that the...
Yeah, you know, we have two mechanisms for breaking sources. Actually, there are more than that. There is anomaly mediated sources. Anomaly mediated sources. But if I'm interested in getting mediation for symmetry breaking, because for two reasons. First one, the gauge mediation for symmetry breaking is at low scale, not very high scale. It's like into our engine. So it can be. Also,
so this other alternative,
particle,
supersymmetric particles, is you couldn't detect it. Rather.
It can be distant experimentally, but you know there must that the supersymmetry is broken into very high like length scale, like in the gravity mediated supersymmetry, which is 10^18. But in the mediation supersymmetry, the supersymmetry can be broken, the messenger scale can be printed as low as 10^5.
Sure.
So here I got constraint, I want the gain mediation supersymmetry breaking scale to be below 10^1. And the second reason that gain mediation supersymmetry is highly predictive. You don't have a lot of parameters. And I point out there's a problem in gain mediation supersymmetry. does not, if you want to use this kind of helmet, the hex mask can go up to 117 gem. And the preferred region of, or the preferred value of the hex mask is around 125 gem, and that's what recently reported. So, how to solve this problem by introducing this medication, this messenger matter?
If the window closes completely on that 124, 125 GV Higgs, claim there's no Higgs below 600 GV, what would you say to that?
Yeah, this model will be ruled out.
This model will be ruled out, but what would you say to that? On
gauge mediation supersymmetric cracking in general.
Completely close out gauge review.
Right. You mean the Higgs mass above 600?
Yeah, if the mass comes out, the best left is above 600. What would you say to that?
Well, first, this is not preferred theoretically.
Not yet, okay.
Yeah, but, you know, it's hard to get that. You need actually to add new multiplets to new fields to the MSSM, and this is actually done by other people to raise the Higgs mass up to this kind of heavy Higgs mass. So they assume, okay, MSSM is going to be rolled out soon. So let's find a new way to raise this Higgs mass by adding new fields to the MSSM. And they can't do that, actually.
Now, you showed ATLAS, CMS, and CDF results. Any reason we're discriminating against D0, or they're just not producing anything?
Well, honestly, I'm...
No, you had to tap
that
one combination.
Oh, was that a combination? I thought that was CDF. Okay. Never mind. I take that question back.
I think the other block was CDF's latest design on...
Oh,
on
with
on
D0.
Yeah.
Okay. Never mind.
Yeah.
Got it. Other questions? Tom?
Are most of these supersymmetric particles, are they predicted to be unstable or...
If they are heavy, going to be unstable. But I don't know how you can experiment and how you can search them.
You know, that might be the question for the next speaker on dark energy, dark matter, because if some of them are stable and they're super massive, we got that answered.
Because all the supersymmetric particles eventually decay to the lightest supersymmetric, which is lightest supersymmetric.
I mean, there might not be any chemistry in the world of dark energy, dark matter, which maybe is why it doesn't produce anything. But it might be that if one of these things exists and is stable, just that alone, that these values alone tell you that, wow, it could account for the 90% of all the missing matter in the universe. But that's the and that's a good lead-in for our next speaker, who is talking about dark energy, dark matter. Who is a physics alumnus from Wichita State University and now heads the world of dark energy, dark matter research, Steve Coleman, we from today. So let's thank our speaker again.